All of the newest episodes of Note to Self are now available on the Luminary podcast app. It's free to download, and you can also listen to other podcasts from WNYC studios like Radiolab, Two Dope Queens, Snap Judgment, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, and others. Luminary Premium is the only place where you can enjoy the entire new season of Note to Self, plus new original podcasts you won't find anywhere else, from Trevor Noah, Roxane Gay, Guy Raz, Lena Dunham, and many more. And you can enjoy them ad-free. Start your free trial by going to luminary.link/note to self or download the Luminary app for free.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is New Tech City, WNYC's weekly look at how technology is changing the way New Yorkers live. I'm Anoush Samarodi. Happy New Year, everyone. Douglas Rushkoff is an authority on the intersection of technology and culture. He's written 12 bestsellers and has a new book coming out, and he joins me now to discuss how he thinks media and the digital age are going to change the way we think and live in 2013. Hi, Doug.
Hiya.
Your new book is coming out in March, and it's called Present Shock, When Everything Happens Now. So, Doug, I've heard of future shock, but what is present shock?
What I'm looking at is the way that the current moment tends to overwhelm us, and all of the different ways that we're trying to really catch up in many cases with our technologies, when in fact our technologies are really just trying to catch up with us. I think present shock takes the form of our inability to really join a movement, to think about things as happening in the future. That sort of, you know, very 20th century way we had of organizing around very clear future-based goals, like let's land a man on the moon, or let's build an atomic bomb, or let's get the Civil Rights Act passed.
What are we thinking about now?
Well, now we don't really have the ability to express the goals that we have in those kinds of very discrete, goal-oriented ways. You know, like, how do we deal with the increase in mass killings? You know, it's not like the president can stand up and say, okay, by the year 2015, we will have blank. You know, they're not as narrative. They're not as future-based. That really, as we mature as a society, we have to start looking at, you know, sustainable models. And sustainable models of working things out aren't quite as dramatic. They don't have that same sense of mission and endpoint and goal. I think it's more complex than saying, oh, our Twitter feed makes us feel anxious, or our Facebook updates are throwing us in the present. And it's much more about the more subtle effects of living in what we'd call a digital media environment. When we think of all time is equal, you know, that we can just sort of maximize our efficiency and do shift work and work at night or work in the day or sleep these 2 hours and then work those 2 hours, we tend to sort of ride roughshod over some, you know, very real and measurable biases and tendencies that natural human beings have. So, in a sense, yeah, I'm arguing not that we get rid of technology by any means, but that we use technology in a way that conforms with some of these more subtle rhythms of human beings moving through time, rather than assume that everyone can be anything to anyone at any given moment.
So give me an example of that. How would we use technology to do that?
You know, we look at the way most people use email now. You know, we answer email whenever it comes in, as if, because it came in now, it's supposed to be answered now, as if that ping means there's something you're supposed to attend to now. You know, most people don't seem to really get that email is a very asynchronous medium. Email, you receive it, and it sits in your inbox until you get to it. You know, this compulsion to respond to it at once is something that we're imposing on it.
It's kind of ironic that, you know, a lot of the tech companies, especially in Silicon Valley, they don't care too much about Wall Street and stock prices. They don't care that much about presentism. They're kind of are long-term thinkers. I mean, Apple and Steve Jobs, they were thinking about long-term ways of changing the way that regular people relate to data and information and communicate.
Yeah, it's interesting, though. You know, in every one of these great visionary companies, you know, ends up in a battle with their shareholders who are looking for instantaneous returns. You know, the people who own Apple stock now are all upset. You know, oh, you know, the Apple iPhone, you know, it sold more than we thought, but not as much more than we thought that we thought it should. And we're not going to wait around a whole year for Apple TV, whatever that is. You know, so now they're getting anxious, you know, because in the stock market game, it is about presentism. It's, you know, how many algorithms can we fit on the head of a temporal pin in order to extract value from the trade?
All right. So tell us, what should we be doing? What are you doing to counteract presentism?
Well, I think one thing that's really interesting for people to do is to spend time with other people. Live in the same room, talking, making love, playing games, socializing. You know, every minute, it's a problem though. Every minute that you spend socializing with another person is a minute you're not contributing to the GNP. You know, you're not buying something. It's considered bad for the economy, right? Because you're just sitting enjoying each other.
So, Doug, at the risk of using a digital metaphor, what you're saying is that we all sort of need to hit the reset button occasionally for us to work properly. I mean, it kind of is ironic that two of the biggest disasters of 2012, Hurricane Sandy and, of course, the shootings at Newtown, both sort of did achieve that, I think, in that people slowed down a little bit after that. Or I heard some people say, you know, we didn't have power for a week. It was kind of great to go to bed when the sun went down and get up when it got up. And I know for me, the shootings at Newtown certainly made me, it didn't seem as important to post to my blog for a while after that. So are you saying that sometimes, you know, when we look at 2013, just quickly sort of sum up for us what you think people need to remember?
You know, what 2013 is going to be is the beginning of us as a society learning to see and feel and recognize positive feedback that comes in less dramatic ways, as more of a trickle, as more of a change of state than some sudden victory. And, you know, that's going to be a slow maturation process for us, but hopefully one that we'll figure out how to do before, you know, before we need to be reminded too dramatically.
Media theorist Douglas Rushkoff, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So what do you think? Have you made a resolution to unplug this year? Or have you found a way to balance the demands of email and Facebook with taking time to look at the bigger picture? Tell us at our website, wnyc.org/tech, or on Twitter at New Tech City, and we won't respond immediately. And of course, download us for free so that you can listen to us anytime you want, no pressure, from iTunes. I'm Anoush Samarodi, and this is New Tech City from WNYC.